Well, a pleasure to bring in Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you tonight?
Good, Marty. Thanks for having me. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. You know, a couple of things. One, Bill Shaken wrote an article this week about the Giant-Dodger rivalry and how you can never overlook these two teams whenever you're trying to figure out what's going to happen in a baseball season. And the second part is something you brought out, and we've been talking about on the show.
Yes.
How good are the Giant hitters 1 through 8? Can they carry this team? Can they make this thing interesting? So you got two variables, Giant-Dodgers, and the Giants can hit a little bit.
Yeah, that was a great article because, you know, obviously everybody's going to be focusing on the Dodgers and the Padres battling presumably for the division title, but there's no history there. I mean, how many great Dodger-San Diego games do you remember? I'm sure there's probably been, I mean, there have been quite a few. I can't remember any right now, but I could reel off a dozen from the Giants and the Dodgers, and if you want to go back before they moved west, you've got another dozen. And nothing's going to change that. And the great thing about the Giants is that, you know, they haven't been in the Dodgers class for, you know, quite a few years, you know, in recent vintage. But they always manage to knock them off here and there, have really, really good games. You know, they beat them 1-0 on a homer by Panic or some such thing. And I really think they're I think Logan Webb's going to shut him down. Just put me down for Logan Webb pitches 6 great innings and beats him. But, you know, and I like Gausman and Cueto's chances against anybody too. But the hitting is obviously going to be the key. And, you know, I think we talked early on that the team's going to hit top to bottom. And I think, you know, I think we're still seeing that. I don't think anything has changed in that regard. It's not going to look like, you know, Juan Soto or Ronald Acuna or Pete Alonso too often, but they hit. I mean, they've got hitters all the way up and down, and they've got guys who use the whole field. You know, Austin Slater is making a push. He sets a great example that way. Tommy La Stella sets a great example of patience at the plate, and you know, Solano and Dickerson and Yaz, and these are good hitters, and not to mention, you know, the holdover guys. So I think they're going to hit, and I think they're going to surprise the Dodgers, and whatever the Padres do, they'll never have a rivalry like the one the Giants have with the Dodgers.
Hey, Bruce, Bill here. It's March Madness. NCAAs are going on. So tonight, Marty and I are going to double team you. Just wanted to tell you that. So
okay, good. Well, I'm pretty good at kicking it out to the open guy, but sometimes
it's clustered. So I want to talk about the health of Brandon Belt. I just don't see Brandon Belt going to Sacramento or staying back in spring training. This guy's going to make the club. He's going to be your first baseman, even though Mariners are going to throw some lefties out there. Do you see him staying back, or do you see him going on a plane to Seattle?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. You know, without the real interpersonal relationships and looking at him up close and hanging around and talking to people sort of off the cuff the way you usually can in spring training, it's hard to tell exactly what's going on, but just a procession of ailments that he's had, you know, the surgery and the mono, and I don't think it doesn't sound as if he's terribly optimistic about it, like coming out of the gate right away at 100%. I think everybody would love to see him go to Seattle, but also I don't think he or the team would want him to go up there unless he was ready to either start or come off the bench. So I'm kind of guessing, but I would say no.
Well, I'm not sure they need him. If Seattle, as Bill said, those 3 lefties, maybe you can have him and have Flores there. But it's a good question because the guy is just barely playing, let alone playing at a major league level. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. This
and they got
week,
the DH up there, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's Longoria's spot. He's bought the deed to that one, I'll tell you that. So, but he's in there tonight at third base. Bruce, Georgia, the state of Georgia, passed some voter suppression laws, if you want to call it that. Very controversial. Reminds me of the NBA a couple of years ago. Didn't want to go into North Carolina with the All-Star game. There's a little bit of tension now, a little bit of a groundswell that maybe the major leagues should stand up and say, we're not going to have the All-Star game in Atlanta. What do you think about that?
Well, I hope they don't. I hope they hold to that because, I mean, You know, apparently these new election laws down there will restrict voting by mail. There's a lot of in the activist community belief that it's going to make it more difficult for people of color to vote. It's just blatant. It's so Atlanta. It's just so Georgia. I mean, despite the fantastic political breakthroughs they did make in the senatorial races, but and it's also the worst sports town in America, bar none, for my money. I've been there millions of times and never really liked it. It's certainly not a necessity that it's there. And if these are the laws and it's established that it's punitive in all the wrong ways, I'd love to see them stay out of there.
Hey, Bruce, today's Buster Posey's 34th birthday. 10 years he's been with the Giants. Yeah, 10 years he's been with the Giants, and this year he's healthy, swinging the bat well. Had a little hip discomfort during spring training, but he says he's okay. This piece of the puzzle that the Giants have with Buster Posey plays in so many different positions, being behind a plate, and you're talking about Logan Webb. That's a perfect guy there. And at bat, I mean, he's been hitting the ball very well in spring training. Your thoughts on what the Giants are going to do throughout the season, how much is he going to play? And we finding out Gabe Kapler saying he's not going to play first base. So how is he going to fit in a mix of how many games as a catcher?
Well, I've always liked the way Posey has said every spring that he's a catcher. He's a catcher and he's a catcher. He's not a third baseman. He's not a first baseman. He can play anywhere, really, but he's a catcher. And the Giants always believed in him that way. So Bruce Bochy certainly did. And, you know, we saw the results. It hasn't been so great lately, but he hasn't been healthy. I think the hip is a little bit of a concern, considering that he had surgery, but it's been a while. I know even last spring he felt like he was not experiencing a lot of discomfort there before he bailed out on the season. And it's probably just the kind of spring training thing, and then when you start exerting yourself in terms of an old injury, that it maybe bothers you a little bit. I mean, we have to take everyone's word for it that it is a minor thing. But if it is, you know, I love it. I don't think anybody feels Joey Bart is ready. He's Posey clearly a starter. He's going to want to start most of the games. And I just, you know, I love watching him hit when he's on. I love watching him go to right field. I love watching him dead pull the ball. And, you know, hitting is in your hips. So much has to do with your hips. And if he's got his hips going, I think it's going to be a show.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Listel and Yastrzemski are going to take 20 pitches, and they're going to wear the pitcher down for him. And he's hitting third.
Well, really? The way things are going, the starter's going to be out of there by the time Posey gets up here.
Really? And I'm telling you, Posey's going to be the beneficiary of it. We talked to Paul White a little bit, and there's so many things that you and I are going to want to touch on. But I was talking about Yadier Molina, and I was thinking about it because Bill brought up Posey's 34th birthday. Better career, Yadier Molina or Buster Posey? And look what Posey has won, and look what Molina's won, and look at the two.
Yeah, I think as of 2014, after that World Series, there was no question that Posey not only was having the better career, but was clearly on a Hall of Fame path. I certainly felt that way. I have a vote, and I got that sense from just about everyone else I talked to that has a vote. You know, he hasn't performed that way for several years for several reasons, but the Hall of Fame push is not what it was. And Molina, meanwhile, has been very, very steady. He had some great moments in the playoffs last year. I totally love this guy. I love his spirit, his energy, what he brings to the team. He's a fine hitter and an incredible leader. So I think right now, I'd say they're probably right about dead even, because I'm not going to take Posey down to the point where, well, he's not a Hall of Famer anymore, because I think Jadier is going to be. But I think right now I'd go with a little bit of a dead heat, and I would still back Posey for the Hall of Fame, probably against a little more groundswell against him that existed a few years ago.
That voice you hear is Bruce Jenkins on Talking Baseball. Marty and I are drilling him left and right, and I got another one for you there, Bruce. Farhan said earlier in the week that he's looking for some shortstop depth. He sees Brandon Crawford playing most of the time and Mauricio Dubon possibly backing up. You think this is something the Giant fans need to worry about?
Well, only if they've heard or seen something in Crawford that suggests that he can't play every day, because as long as he's out there playing the kind of defense that he's that they're accustomed to, he doesn't have to hit 295 in this lineup. You know, the pitchers are going to love him being out there every single day. And that's probably not going to happen because of, you know, he's not the hitter that he once was, and Dubon's kind of pushing him. But, you know, for me, I want Crawford out there every day. I want Dubon to make his mark in the outfield or second base or wherever. And, you know, I know they have high hopes for Luciano, but, you know, he's certainly not going to be on the big league roster. It's interesting he's in there today. I like that. This late in the spring, but he's a ways off. So, I don't know. It strikes me as a little bit odd because they do have enough depth to cover it. But I think, you know, from what I've seen of Dubon at short, he's been up and down. If Crawford is not playing, you've got to have it. The shortstop's got to make the plays. That's kind of the biggest thing a shortstop has to do, even nowadays with so many shortstops putting up massive, incredible numbers. But the shortstop has to make the plays. And I'm not sure they believe that with anybody else they have right now. So if they need to sub out Crawford for whatever reason, it would be good to have a guy who's going to make those routine plays and some spectacular ones.
Well, there's not a lot of room to fit anybody onto this roster. So I'll say this,
no.
Slater is Crawford's best friend because Slater is going to center field, and that's going to free Dubon up a little bit to play in back of Crawford and get him off the field. So that's my thought on that. But Bruce Luciano, you're right. He's in there tonight. That game's on TV, on MLB TV. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Bruce,
yeah,
a couple of things I want to touch on with you. Dr. Bobby Brown passed away this week, a former American League president. He has a great connection to San Francisco, and I just love meeting him, and he's a very special person in the world of baseball.
Yeah, I was covering the game pretty regularly when he was the president of the American League for 10 years, and really a classy, delightful, and distinguished company. I mean, you think about this guy. First of all, just from the city, you know, he played for the Yanks, I think it was 1946 to 52. And, you know, he's in there with Charlie Severa out of St. Ignatius and Jerry Coleman out of Lowell. And Bobby Brown went to Galileo, you know, home of the DiMaggio brothers and Hank Lucetti. And he went to Stanford. And by the way, he's 26 years old with the Yankees. He's already got 4 rings. that's not bad.
one of the great World Series hitters.
Yeah, his World Series average for a certain amount of at bats is just off the charts. It's 4 something, I think. It's
yeah, he was
really
like
remarkable.
438 or something like that. The best quote he had. And this sort of sums him up, a very nice man and a San Franciscan and really a connection to the people that Bruce just talked about. When he met his wife for the first he met his wife's parents for the first time and he wanted to make sure they liked him. He said to his wife, "Now, when you introduce me to your mother, tell her I'm a cardiologist. And when you introduce me to your father, tell him I play third base for the Yankees."
And both of them are right. He did both of those things. He was always a cardiologist after studying at Tulane. And not only that, he served in the World War II and the Korean War. I mean, what a man. What a life.
Yeah, I heard Chris Russo yesterday said that when the Yankees were getting ready to play the World Series in 1951, he was the lead surgeon like Alan Alda and MASH going up a hill in Korea. And that was Bobby Brown. So very special man. And we'll have one of our memories of the game either on the show or we'll put it on the website. But go ahead, Bill.
You know, one of the questions we asked Paul White was so many stolen bases, Bruce. Everybody's stealing bags. The Giants are second in the Cactus League. I'm going to throw it to you. Why all of a sudden we're stealing bases?
Well, people must have come to their senses. I mean, you know, I mean, Lord knows the three of us have spent years watching baseball with absolute game changers, whether it was Maury Wills or Vince Coleman or Lou Brock or Ricky Henderson, you know, going right into the World Series and deciding the friggin' thing. And all of a sudden, doesn't make sense because a bunch of numbers people decided that it's not smart. I mean, if you don't have guys that you like their chances. Of course, it's a bad idea, but to me, it's always been essential to have somebody who can steal you that base, somebody at the top of the lineup, somebody who can hit his way and stay in the top of the lineup. And there's so many examples going all the way back to, you know, Ty Cobb's day. Mm-hmm. And it's such a weapon. All of a sudden, the guy's on second. He's no longer on first. He's on second, and that changes everything. And the pitcher may be a little rattled if he went over there 18 times, which I guess you can't do now in the minor leagues. They're looking at cutting down the pickoff moves. But you know that feeling, Bill. I mean, you're trying to hold a guy on. You're throwing over there. You're not liking your chances too much, even though you do everything right. And sure enough, Brock steals second. I mean, it's a great part of the game. And you talk about fans being bored mm-hmm. by the lack of balls being put in play. Once you get a guy in first base, even if nothing's happening, even if it's just pickoff throws, everybody's into it. Everybody's into the lead that he has. What kind of arm does the catcher have? What kind of gambler is the manager? It just triggers a lot of conversation. It's just plain exciting.
And I tell you I didn't understand why that stopped. It was such a big part of the game in the 80s and 90s, and all of a sudden nobody's stealing bags anymore. You got 10 guys leading the league or something like that. It was an unbelievable statistic. But I loved what you said. Yeah, it disrupts everything. If a guy gets on base and he's a stealer, it disrupts everything. Pitch outs, the pitcher's attention to him. Also, the middle infielders, you know, pinching to the base. There's so many things that happen when a runner gets on first base. I'm glad it's back in the game. I really am.
Yeah, and I'd love to see the Giants be a big part of it with a couple guys coming up that can really run. Because it's starting to make a whole lot of sense. You got guys like Acuna and Trey Turner, and you know a lot of guys around the bigs are combining their offensive skills with that great base running, and it just translates to winning. Other than that, I hate it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing: D. Gordon got released today, and he's killed the Giants, and there's no room for him. But that's a guy who could steal a base.
Yeah, and he was very, very good, and he could hit a little bit, and. Sure, that's a good example of the kind of guy that can really, really help your team.
Yeah, well, one other thing, and very quickly, we're under a minute to go. Maybe in spring training, Bill, Bruce, that the pitchers are just cranking it up and throwing so hard that they're slower to the plate, and the catchers aren't, you know, the number A1 catchers, so maybe that's giving people a chance to steal. I don't know. That's just a guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever it may be, I mean, I think pitchers are a lot more deliberate in general than they ever were. They don't work nearly as fast. And I think when a pitcher works fast and the infielders behind him are used to a quick pace like that, boom, 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 it just puts everybody in a better mindset to defend against the stolen base. But I don't know. That's conjecture as well. But at least we're seeing a trend toward more base running, and I think that's just a good thing.
All right, three guys talking ball at the counter. That's what we did. Very good, Bruce. A pleasure. Have a good
great,
night.
Bruce.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks so much, guys. Talk then.
All right. That's Bruce Jenkins. All right, Bill. Have the post game show tonight. We'll be back with you 11 a.m. tomorrow for more talking baseball. Giants baseball coming up now on KNBR.